Hello and welcome to From Fear to Fire, secrets to overcome fear, embrace your gifts, and achieve success. This is the place where real people share real challenges and where you can find a common bond and uncommon wisdom through their journeys to help you move from fear to fire. I am Heather Hansen O'Neill. I am your host. And today's quote is by Sheryl Sandberg. I want every little girl who's been told that she's bossy to be told instead that she has leadership skills. You'll know why I chose this one momentarily. We have a wonderful guest for you today, Linda Fisk. Is a multi-award-winning CEO, TEDx speaker, five-time international best-selling author, and university professor dedicated to amplifying and extending the success of other high-caliber business leaders. She's the CEO of Leadership Global, a community of unstoppable women enhancing their leadership blueprint and embracing their power to be the best version of themselves in work and in life. There's so much more we want to learn about leadership and all of the things that Linda has accomplished. Let's bring her on to do just that. Welcome, Linda. How are you today?
Hi, Heather. So great to be here with you. Thank you so much for creating such a powerful platform for women.
Thank you. I am just so thrilled to have you here. I know that our listeners are going to walk away feeling inspired and with some tips to boot. So how about we talk a little bit about that leadership global, because it's something that drew me to you, and I'd love to learn more about it. And I have a sneaking suspicion my listeners will as well. So can you tell us a little bit more?
Yes. Thank you so much for asking, Heather. I really appreciate that. Leadership Global is really a community for extraordinary women around the world who are in positions of leadership. So we help unleash the full potential of high-performing and growth-oriented leaders in a confidential, supportive, and private community. So we provide an opportunity for women to be open, transparent, vulnerable, in a safe place. They have the opportunity to meet other inspirational leaders, create lifelong friendships, and be surrounded by people who are going to be deeply invested in their success. They can be open and honest and transparent about the roadblocks in front of them, their struggles, their challenges, and they know that they will be inspired and motivated by other women in leadership who will cheer them on, who will provide unbiased and objective counsel and support them to greater and greater levels of success and impact.
Oh my goodness, this is so needed. And I just know that when I work with women, that's what we do now, right? We lift each other up, we help, we support, and what you're providing is a fabulous opportunity and platform to be able to facilitate that happening. And so I'm thrilled that you're doing it. We'll talk a little bit more about that, but I want to go back a little bit. So what is one of the earliest challenges that you faced, and has it helped to shape who you are?
Absolutely, Heather. I will tell you that my biggest challenge started when I was a very young child. I was considered to be clinically shy, and that means that I was unable to hold eye contact with anyone, even though my parents often urged me to, of course, look someone in the eye, shake their hand, say hello. And over time, I developed a penchant for kind of whispering my words at an uneven rate of speech. And I began repeating my words with a pronounced stutter. And what I found is that social settings and high stress environments made it nearly impossible for me to speak. I became more and more self-conscious, and the tension in my voice made it more and more difficult to even utter a word. And over time, my frustration with my attempts to communicate began to lead to kind of a hesitation or a prolonged pause before I was even able to speak. And by the time I could even utter a word, the conversation had moved on. So over time, it was simply easier to remain quiet. And by the time I was in high school, I had the nickname Mouse because I was quiet as a mouse. This kind of hidden type of stuttering developed as I consciously began to avoid words or sounds or situations that might involve any kind of struggle. I hid my problem from most other people because I developed a behavioral pattern and a coping mechanism that kept me absolutely vigilant at all times. Mm-hmm. And so what I realized is that, words seemed to get stuck, or I was repeating those words over and over to the exasperation of the listener. And I found that my vocal cords tended to lock up during stress, and the speech pattern that followed included repetitions, interruptions, prolongations of words, sounds, syllables, and it was incredibly, incredibly frustrating. And by the time I was in college, I knew that I needed to find a way to effectively manage my stuttering in order to have the life I envisioned for myself. So by then, by the time I entered college, I knew I wanted to work in advertising and marketing, because after years of observing, listening, and studying people, I had an innate sense of how people seemed to be motivated, what seemed to guide decisions, directions, what persuaded people to make certain choices. So after years of being quiet and reserved, watching behaviors of my classmates, my teachers, I noticed which popular classmates seemed to be the most admired, the most respected, the most charismatic, the most well-liked. And I began to really study what makes them charismatic, what makes them well-liked. And I began to see how these classmates influenced and inspired others, how they persuaded people to make various choices. And I was fascinated by the key motivations that seemed to drive the actions, the common needs and desires of these incredibly persuasive peers of mine. So I knew I wanted to be in advertising and marketing, because that meant being able to be persuasive, to be charismatic, to be an influencer, and to be able to be present to the kinds of trends that we see in our society, to be able to be impactful, to be able to present things in a meaningful way, to be persuasive and convincing, and also to develop trusting relationships with people. So mm-hmm. I could see this fictional version myself, a successful advertising executive standing in front of a boardroom, presenting a brilliant new marketing campaign. And in my mind's eye, I was confident, I was charming, I was captivating, I was confident with my words. And I could see this kind of alternative version of myself, sharp, savvy, approachable, persuasive, charismatic. And I thought that by practicing and really focusing on overcoming this debilitating speech defect would be the key for me to become this other version of myself. So that's what I really focused on in college.
And so, okay, so there's so many different things that come to mind for me. First of all, it's, folks, this is a keynote speaker, a TEDx speaker, who has overcome something that you'd never expect to hear that a keynote speaker would have, right? But also, there are two parts of it that stand out to me. The first one is that because of the challenges that you faced, that is what caused you to be in that listening state, to be in that observing place, to be able to pick up on these behavioral differences between people, their personality differences. And I find that sometimes when someone tells me their story, it's the very thing that they wanted to overcome that helped get them to where they are today. And so I hear that in your story. But for anyone out there who's listening, any of our listeners who may be feeling some of the things that you felt or experiencing what you felt, what would be a tip or an action or a mindset shift that you might be able to share with them?
Yes, I will tell you, Heather, that this was a journey. Mm-hmm. It took 4 years, dozens of public speaking classes, speech therapy, counseling. And I graduated college having competed in several public speaking contests and actually won 4 national competitions. And from that first public speaking course, when I literally fainted in front of the classroom of 25 fellow students, to graduating when I could present to an auditorium of more than 500 people, I got to tell you, that was a case study in both grit and grace. Mm. Grit was evident in my resolve, my stamina to reach this seemingly impossible goal based on achieving the life that I envisioned for myself. I had this vision of being a successful advertising and marketing executive that was persuasive, that was charismatic, that was confident, but that was not the place I was in. So I needed grace along the journey to accept my limitations, my slow progress, my setbacks, but I also needed grit because I didn't want to let go of that vision that I had for my life. And I feel like because of my passion to achieve a long-term objective, to create a life that I envisioned for myself, I was absolute in my perseverance of effort. Even when that led to pretty painful, embarrassing, or even humbling experiences, humiliating experiences, I had the kind of mental toughness that's often described as grit. And I think of grit as the combination of resilience and self-control in the pursuit of goals that might take months, years, or even decades. So in every area of growth, from your education to your career to even athletic training, it's your level of mental toughness and determination that accurately predicts your level of achievement. To me, grit is more reliable and more accurate as an indicator of future success than any other characteristic, any other attribute. Having grit is important because it becomes the driver of achievement success, well beyond what skill and knowledge provide. There can be brilliant people all over the world with incredible innate skill and giftedness and talents, but if they're not dedicated to achieving a clear long-term goal and being steadfast in that pursuit, then what you find is potential, not action. So I was steadfast in my pursuit, undeterred by the many sacrifices that that pursuit required. And in my mind, that's really mental toughness and grit. But at the same time, I would say that has got to be balanced with grace. I'm convinced that incorporating the tenets of grit into any approach when tackling any kind of worthy pursuit, it's fundamental to success. But it's equally important to embrace the concept of grace. And in my definition of grace, I'm referring to your ability to push towards excellence, but leaving room for failure. To really unpack the concept of grace, I think you have to really know and accept your shortcomings, your failures. You have to deeply understand the consistent themes in your life embedded in your past and woven throughout your life story, because those are the keys to your purpose and your future, as you said, Heather. So you have to understand your limitations, your mistakes, your shortcomings, your failures, really examine those recurring themes, those issues in your life. And I think it's by having an examined life, carefully examining your past, especially your failures, that you become clear about what your value is. Yes. And it's by accepting that you are going to stumble and fall and fail. And that's okay. It recognizes that the lessons that you learned through perhaps experiencing the result of a failure or a bad mistake or a bad decision, and learning from it, that's the real definition of grace. Grace doesn't necessarily remove the consequences or protect you from your bad decisions, but it does allow for the recognition of the mistake and the forgiveness of the failure. And it's through forgiveness that you're able to have the resilience to incorporate the learning into forward progress. So I think of grace as being embodied. It's kind of an attitude. It's a characteristic, a belief. And as such, it has a contagious effect on others. So if you show yourself grace, it's easy to show others grace. And I feel like that's where grace starts, is with you, but it is contagious. I think grace starts by clearly understanding your life story, including your consistent themes, and then making a conscious decision to push forward towards excellence. Again, leaving room for failure. And you know your value because failure doesn't define you. In fact, failures are often the very building blocks that help make you stronger and even more valuable.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't agree more. Linda, I love the combination, right? Because people do talk about grit And they leave out the grace. And I think you really need both. And I'm so glad that you brought up the word forgiveness, because that was what was filling my being as you were speaking. I'm thinking, this is about forgiveness, right? Forgiveness of our humanness. And that's how I could see, yes, this is contagious. You use the word contagious, because when you learn to drive and have that grit and move forward and take actions in combination with the grace to forgive yourself for your human failings and to learn from them, that is a leadership combination that is like a beacon to others, right? To allow them to be and to do the same things and to learn how to strive with grace is a beautiful lesson to send out into the world. I think it's fantastic. And something that listeners, I hope you're picking this up, because I know most of my listeners out there are probably much more comfortable with the grit part and a little less comfortable with the grace part. So let's remember to do both. And while we're on, right? Do you find that too?
Yes, I think that's so true. And I feel like it's through grace that you can begin thinking positively of yourself, even though you will inevitably fall short of your expectations for yourself. But when that occurs, you can make amends. You can forgive yourself and forgive anyone else that you might have hurt along the way. And you can and will do better if you allow yourself to. So this gives you the ability to push other people towards success while also allowing them to make mistakes. And after all, you know, people allowed us to learn from some of our greatest lessons through failure. And it is our responsibility to give that ability to others to make mistakes and still accept them and forgive them afterwards. So I feel like, you know, grace is composure and quiet confidence in your leadership. Leaders with grace can look at any challenge and any opportunity, the spirit of abundance. They embrace the idea that there's plenty for all of us to share, and they relate to those around them with an open mind and an open heart. And I feel like grace is truly a force for good. It's when times are challenging, that's when it's going to require courage and grace. And so while grit determines that life challenges will neither define us nor defeat us, it's the toughness, the courage, the bravery, the resilience, the spirit that drives us forward. It's really grace that's freely given favor, mercy, a sense of generosity and kindness. It's moral strength. It's favor even when it's not deserved. It's understanding and forgiveness born out of really kind of a sense of self-discovery and self-acceptance that you share with others. It's kind of an undeserved, unmerited, unearned embrace of acceptance.
I love the way that you put that. And, you know, I think it's so important that we talk sometimes about the importance of who you surround yourself with. And when you are describing this combination of grit and grace, you're describing the people with that abundant mentality that I want to surround myself with. And those are the people that you would find in somewhere like a leadership global community, right? And so I love how everything ties together. And even though we're talking about that those positive elements and all the great things that come from it, I'm actually going to go back to something that I've heard you say, and it has to do with fail, right? Because I'd like you to share what this means to you and how you've applied the concept.
Yeah, failure to me is just a first attempt in learning. So if you think about the acronym FAIL, F-A-I-L, you can remember it as just a first attempt at learning. And I got to tell you, my career has been a series of lessons learned. It's been opportunities to grow and develop as a person, as a professional. But because hiring managers took a chance on me, my supervisors were able to show an incredible abundance of grace, I was able to forge a career as an entrepreneurial and forward-thinking marketing executive on really, truly the cutting edge of brand marketing. But it's because I was allowed to fail. I was allowed to have that idea that failure doesn't define me. It's simply my first attempt at learning. So I received incredibly impactful advice and guidance along the way from supervisors, mentors, coaches that helped to shape and mold me, allowing me to accelerate not only my self-awareness and growth, but my ability to experiment and try new things. And through that experimentation, of course, I'm going to fail at times. Some of my most spectacular mistakes and failures were also some of my most important lessons, when my supervisors, my peers, my mentors often offered a stunning level of grace and forgiveness.
You know, so this is what we need to remember as we move forward in our changing times, right? Because I think that the ever-changing nature of our future is going to lend itself to more and more need to attempt, to risk, to try, to fail, and to learn. And so I love that first attempt in learning. And it's not a failure at all if we take in that lesson and we move forward with a new way of looking at things or our new strategy, and you'll end up with new outcomes, constantly changing. This is fantastic. There's so many questions that I'd like to ask you, Linda, but I also wanted to get back, because I know that at your core, you believe a lot of the same things that I do as it relates to our need to, I call it, you know, the humanity, finding humanity. So our need to go beyond ourselves, right? We have our own vision for, like, your vision for what you wanted for yourself and your life, but then it expanded into, how do I help others? How do I do something, a mission that is bigger than me? And that involves service, that involves doing good things out into the world for other people. So do you have any thoughts on that help guide you?
Yeah, I mean, I have found that the most inspirational leaders that I've had the good fortune of working with and really knowing intimately were both humble and lifetime learners. And I think the two are incredibly interconnected. Once you recognize that there is no one who's going to have all the answers all the time, you begin to embrace a more humble leadership style that involves a sense of curiosity, a sense of embracing the idea that you will be a lifetime learner as a leader. And throughout your leadership journey, I think you've got to continue to learn how to better serve others, how to genuinely support their career advancement, their overall engagement at work. You have to become mindful of the opportunity and the responsibility that you have to serve not only your own advancement, but the advancement of those around you. And it's through serving others that you will find your greatest reward. So I feel like, you know, embarking on a continuous discovery that informs your perspective, that nurtures new skill sets, that embraces new aptitudes, is really the hallmark of an extraordinary leader. And at every stage of your career, I really encourage the leaders of Leadership Global to learn how to create sustainable impact and influence and to really pay it forward as they grow and develop at every single stage of their career. They have a responsibility to share their expertise, their knowledge, their insight with others. And so we have created, I feel like, an incredible ecosystem of women in leadership who are deeply invested in each other's success, that very generously share their knowledge, their insight, their expertise, their lived experience. And it provides the opportunity to learn new skills. Maybe it's financial management or negotiation or public speaking based on personal and professional goals. But with every single step you take, I think you are able to identify new ways of mastering fundamentals, up-leveling skill sets, expanding your visibility, expanding your reach, and it provides you with greater clarity and greater depth of thought to further improve your leadership approach and your communication style.
So what I'm hearing is something that I've found consistent through some of the best leaders that I talked to. I had the great good fortune to be able to speak to amazing leaders with the podcast and everything that I do. And there seems to be this common thread. And you said the word twice now, so I'm going to bring it up again for that magical third time, and that is responsibility. We have a responsibility, right? In when we are given things, it's our responsibility to pay it forward then. And so I think about those leaders who have been mentored from someone else. They are driven to do the same thing for others, right? So I'm led to ask you, is there a mentor that you had that really made an impact on you and who you are?
There have been so many. There have been so many. And some of those mentors, really showed a lot of tough love. They really helped shape and mold and guide me into the leader I am now. And sometimes, you know, it could be someone that's striving right along with me, who teaches and trains me from their experience. So sometimes it's someone who's very advanced in their career, their experience, their expertise, who's giving me feedback and instruction. And sometimes it's someone right along beside me who is striving as I am to become a better and better leader. But I will tell you, the fulfilling feeling of giving back and contributing to others is absolutely unparalleled. I feel like true meaning, true purpose is all about how you're able to better the lives of the people around you, your loved ones, the people in your community, the lives of people maybe somewhere else in the world. Meaning never comes from what you get, it comes from what you give. And so finding ways to give back and to make an impact in the world is really what we're all about in Leadership Global. And what I also find fuels the incredible, inspirational leaders that I've had the good fortune of being in relationship with.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Linda. I am just so excited that we are aligned and that our listeners today are feeling and hearing the passion that you have for this, because that's part of it. What we're talking about now energizes us and it energizes others, everyone around us. So I'm sure that they're feeling it and they're probably chomping at the bit to learn more about Leadership Global or any of the things that you're doing, how they can get in contact with you. Could you take a moment now and share that?
Absolutely. So you're welcome to reach out to me on our website, which is leadershipglobal.com. So leadershipglobal.com. There's lots of opportunities to drop me a note, fill out a form and send it to me about what you'd like to chat about, what you'd like to learn about. And I'm happy to get back in touch with you. I'm also very active on LinkedIn. And I have, of course, visibility into Facebook and Instagram and Twitter. LinkedIn also has a very robust page for Leadership Global where you can learn more as well. And you're always welcome to reach out to me, Linda Fisk, on LinkedIn, and I'm happy to connect with you.
Oh, thank you so much, Linda. And you have two TED Talks, is that right? Or is it yes?
Yes.
So I encourage listeners to search for Linda Fisk in TED as well and find her talks and have a listen of those as well. Thank you so much. It's time already for your final parting words of wisdom. You've already given us some great nuggets, but do you have that one final thing that you really are driven to share with people before we leave today?
You know, the one parting word of advice or guidance that I would offer is to absolutely believe in your long-term vision for your life. Have the confidence to know the value that you bring to this earth. There is a purpose for your being here. There is a reason why you were placed here at this time, at this place. And what I would invite you to do is to embrace your purpose, to really understand your personal mission and vision, and then embrace the long-term journey that it will take to become the person you were designed to be. Nothing happens overnight. It is a journey. And embrace the steps forward. Have the confidence to know that you're valuable and that your mission and vision, your unique purpose matters. And embrace that first step along the journey and every step after.
Oh, that's fantastic. And of course, you know that in taking Linda's advice, it's going to include a need for some of that grit and grace we started with. Yes. So as it usually happens, we're coming full circle. Linda, once again, thank you so much. And listeners, if you love the show, share it with a friend. In particular, one of your female leader friends might be very interested in this show. And always leave us a review. We really appreciate those. Thank you all and have a beautiful day. Thank you.